In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Our saints for today, Saint Vincent and Anastasius, were both martyrs. And also for today, is declared in the United States a day of penance in reparation for the sin of abortion. So we'll hear a little bit about that today as well. St. Vincent was a deacon in Saragossa, Spain, and this is in the Diocletian persecution, so it's around the year 300. He was the deacon for the bishop who was, I don't remember the bishop's name, Valerius or something like that. But they were both incarcerated, right, imprisoned by the Roman governor of Spain, because it was known, if you want to get the faithful to apostatize, which is what the Diocletian wanted, like all Catholics had to sacrifice to the an image of the emperor, if you want to get the faithful to cave in, get the clergy to cave in first, and then the faithful will follow. So that's and we can see that today, right, sadly. So the governor understands this, so he brings in the bishop and his deacon, and the bishop had a speech impediment. This deacon, Vincent, would actually preach and be the spokesman for the bishop. And so they were brought in before the governor, and the bishop wasn't saying anything. So St. Vincent asks the bishop, "Father, if you order me, I will speak." And Valerius replied, "Son, as I committed to you the dispensation of the word of God, so now I charge you to answer in vindication of the faith which we defend." Very well spoken, so maybe it took him a while, but Valerius replies to Dacian that they were ready to suffer everything for the true God, and that threats and promises mean nothing. And now this angered the governor such that Vincent was inflicted with every kind of torture. Stretched on the rack, flesh torn with hooks, wounds rubbed with salt, hot iron plates applied afterwards, roasted on a gridiron, similar to St. Lawrence, and everything, not to the point of death, but to the point of maximum pain. And it was, I think St. Augustine would write later about this, the reports of his torments, was that in the face of these inhuman torments, St. Vincent displayed inhuman, we could say, patience. By inhuman, like divine. It's not possible for human beings to suffer tortures in the manner that he suffered. So well, peacefully, calmly, with perfect charity. And in fact, he was so constant in his sufferings that the jailer converted. That's a story we've heard many times. The jailer converts completely and refuses to do any more. And the governor himself is somewhat stricken by this as well, guilt-ridden. So he allows the faithful to come in and minister to St. Vincent. And they dress his wounds, they lay him on a bed, but he expires because of the torments. Well, the governor is still stubborn. He doesn't want the body of the martyr to become an object of veneration. So he throws it out to be eaten by wild animals. But ravens come and they drive off any of the other birds. They protect the body. So then the governor is like, imagine, it's like he sounds like the mob trying to get rid of a body. So he ties something around his and throws him into the ocean. And then the rock floats and brings him back to the shore. And then the faithful recover his body and they give him a burial. And his remains are kept, I think originally in a church in Portugal, and now they're in Lisbon, Spain. But some of the relics were taken to Rome, and a church in Rome was built called St. Vincent. And again, this happened in about the year 304. Right? So St. Anastasius was born in Persia in the 7th century. Like over 300 years later, you have St. Anastasius, who himself becomes a martyr. So why do we have Vincent and Anastasius? Like, why are they together? Actually, because they were martyred on the same day, as we'll find out. St. Vincent was martyred on the 22nd of January. And St. Anastasius was martyred on the 22nd of January. So they had nothing in common in life. They were separated by 300 years, but they had a very common, I guess you could say their lifestyle was common. They gave everything for Christ, and they were martyrs. So how was St. Anastasius? What was his life like? Ended up being martyred on the 22nd of January. But prior to that, he was born in Persia, as I mentioned, in the 7th century, and he was the son of a pagan magician. Anastasius was not his name. He had some Persian pagan name. He was a soldier in the Persian army and participated in the sack of Jerusalem. And that in that time, that was when the Persians carried away the relic of the true cross. They seized it and took it back to Persia. But this caused him, St. Anastasius, he began to ask about this religion. What is this Catholic religion? What is this true cross all about? And he investigated the faith, and like so many people who do investigate the faith, they are convinced of its truth. He converted. He went back to Jerusalem, entered a monastery, became a monk. But the Persian Empire was it had sacked Jerusalem. It had kind of taken over control of the area, and there was persecution going on. So he felt called to leave his monastery and go witness to the faith to his fellow Persians who were antagonizing the Catholics there in the area. So he goes to Caesarea, and it says that he interrupted and ridiculed the Zoroastrian priests for their false religion. That's generally not going to endear you to, you know, that false religion. So he is imprisoned, tortured, and given, again, threats, promises. And finally, he, along with 70 others, are condemned to be beheaded. And upon hearing his death sentence, he remarked calmly, "I expected a crueler kind of death." He was surprised it would only be beheading. So he was beheaded on the 22nd of January, the year 628, and then his remains were brought back to Jerusalem and eventually to Rome, and then he was interred there in the Church of St. Vincent, which afterwards became known as the Church of Vincent and Anastasius. So thus the martyrs for today. And I guess fitting, this has been like a whole week of martyrs. We have St. Sebastian, St. Agnes, and now St. Vincent, Anastasius. So it's kind of fitting that today is that anniversary of the 1973 infamous decision from the Supreme Court to make abortion legal in the United States. You know, aborted children, they're not martyrs in that sense, but they are victims of wrongful death. It's just, you know, just like these martyrs, right? There are the people in control, the ruling, society, government, whatever it is, they're the ones who decide your life isn't worth living. You're not going to live the way we think you should live, and so we're going to deprive you of life. You need to sacrifice to the emperor. You need to pinch incense. You need to accept and recognize the emperor is a god and above all these other gods. And if you don't, we're going to kill you. You need to accept that your life isn't worth living. You know what? This child, impoverished circumstances, wouldn't be good. You know, every child, a planned and wanted child, that awful refrain from 20 years ago. It's just a decision that society and parents are making about their own children. Your lives aren't worth living. The hubris, the outrageous pride to say that, the insult to the person whose life you're taking away from them. You know, there was a very interesting story of a medical doctor or professor of ethics or something, and he was teaching his students, and he proposed to them this question. So here's a family. The father has syphilis, the mother has tuberculosis, or had. Of four previous children, the first child was blind, the second one died, the third was deaf and dumb, and the fourth ended up with tuberculosis. This woman finds out she is pregnant once again. What would you advise? Unanimous. The students all say she should have an abortion. The doctor tells his students, "Congratulations, you just killed Beethoven." So that was his family story. So you never know. You don't know who is being killed by abortion. And I have bad news, sad news for everybody here. We've all lost somebody by abortion, right? I have a best friend that I never knew because of abortion. Because it's killed 60 million people out of this nation over the past 40 years. We have 320 million people in the United States. We should have nearly 400 million. But you can't take 70 million people out of a nation and not have a vast impact. Every single one of us should have known somebody, should have loved somebody, but never had the opportunity because they were killed by abortion. That's the fact. And that's just our personal friends. How many of our friends do we know have done something, have impacted us in a positive way or done something for society? This is a society killing itself. You know, as we heard the other day with St. Sebastian, captain of the Praetorian Guard. And he said to the emperor, "We are your best and most loyal subjects. And yet those are the very ones who are being murdered." Well, this is the beauty of the cross, right? The best man that ever lived was put to death precisely because he was good, and the world hates the example of good. It wants to be evil. So although it is sad, right, and it is a reality, and there are definitely consequences, as I've mentioned before, there is no reason to despair or to become despondent. Because it's hard. This is a hard truth. We need to hear this. We need to hear. Everybody needs to hear. You have lost somebody by abortion. It doesn't matter who you are. Liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, you have lost somebody. Now what do we do from this point forward? We fast, we pray, we say our prayers, and from the example of the martyrs, not to fear death, not to fear persecution, and also not to hate those who are doing the persecuting. Those who are persecuting us, because they will convert. You know, if we've lost a friend by abortion, how many friends have we lost because of anger? We were angry with somebody. We pushed them away. We held a grudge. We lost a friend. Or a spouse. So many lessons, right? So many lessons that we can draw from understanding the lives of the saints, from thinking about it, meditating upon it. Right, I mentioned the other day, we need to be doing our spiritual reading. I will tell you today, we need to be doing our meditation every day. Every day, 15, 20, 30 minutes of meditation. Quiet time we spend with God. What do we talk about? This kind of stuff. How do I make sense of suffering in my life? This abortion is going on in the world. That's terrible. What can we do? What should I do? If you have been doing your reading, if you've been doing your meditation, God will be able to speak with you. He's got something to work with there on the inside. So let us this day renew our desires to do our daily prayers, to do penances, reparation, to work tirelessly for the advancement of good of the church in society, and not to hate those who oppose us, not to become bitter, despondent, always to trust, always to have faith. And I add at the end, pray for those aborted children for the grace of baptism of desire. It is a grace God can give, but it will take prayers. So I ask everybody to please do that. So Saint Vincent, Saint Anastasius, all holy saints, all holy martyrs, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.